did that hymn tonight. But I think of the second verse where it says, "Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last." And it will for the child of God, no matter what you're going through. Well, tonight I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I thought I would ask you to turn to the Gospel of Isaiah. Sometimes I feel like calling it the Gospel of Isaiah, and some have done that. Said it's the Gospel of Isaiah. There's so much gospel here. I want us to read verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah 55. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." It's been 10 or 15 or so years ago, but I remember seeing a newscast about the people in Haiti. And if you know anything about Haiti, you know it's a very, very poor country. Excuse me. I try not to do that in the pulpit, but it's better than having dripping all over my notes. And they were experiencing a great famine there. It was so great that the people were actually taking dirt and getting it wet and making mud pies and baking them and eating them. And some of you may remember this tragic situation on the island of Haiti. That's getting pretty hungry. You know there's no nutritional value in these mud pies, but they were eating them just to try to get away from, for just a few moments, the gnawing pain of that extreme hunger that you feel when you're starving to death. About 10 days ago was Lori's birthday, and we went to a fancy restaurant. And I try to do that, you know, about once a year. And so we sat down and ate a magnificent meal. It was almost as good as Lori's cooking. I'm hoping she's watching this. So I, but can you imagine if we're sitting there at that restaurant, and I mean, what a menu, great menu, lots of great choices. And if the waiter came and I, you know, sometimes you order things that aren't on the menu, right? And say, you know, all these are great choices, and it looks like a great menu, but you know, I just would like a mud pie. Would you just make me a mud pie? Can you imagine the expression on his face? I'd just like to see the reaction of what he would say. You'd be crazy to do a thing like that, wouldn't you? Well, in verse 2, Isaiah asked this probing question, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Now, of course, he's speaking spiritually here. These are spiritual truths he's trying to relate to us. But we see it all the time, don't we? We see people trying to satisfy their spiritual hunger with worldly things. Worldly pleasures, the lust of the flesh, worldly things, the lust of the eyes, worldly attainments, the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Now, people spending money, so to speak, on that which is not bread and that which will not satisfy them. And many of you have been there. Those of you who are in Christ, so many of you have been there and you know what we're talking about. Well, Jesus said, and he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 when he says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, man was not made to be satisfied with the things of this world. Man was not made to be satisfied with anything less than fellowship with our Maker. You children, do you remember Christmas time or your birthdays and how quickly those things that you get at Christmas time or your birthday, how quickly those toys lose their excitement? You're so excited to open the package, right? I remember when it was. I was a kid once. I really was. I know it's hard to believe, but I was. And that great excitement as you're opening the package and you see this toy that you've been wanting for a long time. But children, think about this. How long does that make you that excited? Usually, by the end of the day, it's kind of lost some of its luster, hasn't it? And now there again, every now and then, we're given a very special present that's something that we treasure the rest of our lives, but usually we don't treasure it for its intrinsic earthly value or anything like that, but usually for sentimental reasons. I have things that people have given me that are very valuable to me, not because of the thing itself, but because of the relationship that that thing represents. But we've seen so many young people, for example, in this very church that have grown up in this church under the means of grace, who've left the church and in many cases left the faith. And they're in hot pursuit of the world and the things of the world. I was talking to a young person recently that decided he wasn't a Christian anymore. He was ready to give up his profession of faith. And I said, you realize that I listed some things in his life. I said, you have this now and you've always wanted. You have this that you've always wanted and he's young and healthy and all that. And I said, you realize that, you found your life. You found your life. And you know what Jesus said about that. He said, whosoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then I reminded him, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And yet we have so many, and we see it so often. And I'm not talking about just some kid that's grown up on the streets out there or grown up somewhere in a home where his parents never took him to church. No, I'm talking about children that were raised in this church under the preaching of God's Word. And in many cases, not all cases, in many cases, even with godly parents that opened the Bible and taught them at home as well. And yet, with all that, they prefer to eat mud pies. They prefer that. The things of the world are more important to them than the things of Christ. So, lost and dying souls all around us are contenting themselves with mud pies when a gospel feast is set before them, as we saw this morning. A gospel feast that's free for the taking, without money and without price. And that's tragic. But I think it's also appropriate also to apply this to those of us that are true believers. I believe there's application here for the church, for the people of God. And I would ask this question. Is there any way that we too might be spending our money on that which is not bread? Or that we might also be laboring for that which does not satisfy. We're here tonight to observe the Lord's Supper. And it's a time of reflection and meditation on Christ, what he's done for us, and what he's done in us for those of us that are believers. And it's only a little piece of cracker and a little taste of grape juice, but it's meant to remind us of this great gospel feast that is Christ, what Christ has done for our souls, as we sang earlier, the wonderful grace of Jesus. And I'm glad you're here. And every Christian knows that it's right and it's good to partake of this ordinance known as the Lord's Supper. Let me ask you, Christian, what are you spending your capital on? For the Christian, what are you spending money on? And where are your efforts focused? Are you spending wages for that which does not satisfy? See, the world is constantly pulling at all of us. And especially in this materialistic society, don't you find that pull of the world trying to pull you away from Christ, trying to pull you away from the things of God? It's continually on us, and continually something that we have to deal with. And besides that, within every Christian, within the heart of every Christian, you have a traitor living within you. And that's this remaining corruption that we have. And we have the principle of backsliding within us. And it's always at work, trying to draw us away from the sweetness of Christ, trying to bring us down. So, I ask you this then, are there ways in which you're allowing the world to take precedence over your relationship with God? How are your private and your family devotions? How is your prayer life? Heads of households, are you leading your family in the ways of the Lord? Are you seeing to it that they're fed and nourished spiritually? You know, head of household, it begins with you. Your family needs you to be a head of the household and to be behaving like one. It starts with you. I think about this Wednesday night series we've had on Sabbath keeping that Dabney's given us. And then they ask you, how's your Sabbath keeping? Are you remembering the Lord to keep the day holy? James 4:8 says this very simple truth that sometimes we ignore, and that is, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's a simple truth. I was talking with somebody about it just yesterday. It's a simple truth, but it is so profound. Are you continually drawing near to God? Are you purposefully drawing near to God? Are you contenting yourself with something less? It doesn't matter how shiny it is. It doesn't matter how pretty it is. It doesn't matter how much it appeals to your senses. If it's drawing you to it instead of away from Christ, instead of to Christ, it's just like that Haitian eating that mud pie. Well, of course, the poor Haitian didn't have any choice. He didn't have any other choice. But it'd be like me in that restaurant eating the mud pie instead of the great meal that I had. So we need to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. And we draw near to Him with the means of grace. He's given us many ways of drawing near to Him. Or do you find it a burden to seek the Lord? And see, we can get so backslid that sometimes we feel like it's a burden to draw near to God. And that's a scary feeling. And if you're a Christian, you feel that, then you need to rise up against it. And you need to ask God to help you. I don't know how many times it's been a Wednesday night or Sunday night, and I think, oh, well, the flesh just doesn't want to do it, and I don't want to go. I say, no, wait a minute, it's the means of grace that God has given me. I'm going. I'm gonna rise up and do it. And we purpose to draw near to God, to draw near to the means of grace. Is the church preaching the word? Is the word being offered? We ought to be there. Just like, I grew up on the farm, and, I remember feeding the animals, and boy, you put that food down there and they're going to run over there to the feeding trough, Well, when the word is given, you ought to be running over that feeding trough, ready to have it, just like that animal that's hungry for whatever you put in front of him. I remember one time many years ago when our kids were small, we went to Disney. And I remember going there, and it's such a commercialized place. And, of course, I'm older now, and I didn't care for it then. But, of course, children like it. I'm not saying don't take your kids to Disney. It's a terrible place or anything. I'm just an illustration. I remember going there, and we spent a lot of money. And I remember standing in those lines and in these waiting areas they would have. I don't know how they do it now, but they have these waiting areas. You're waiting there and kind of being halfway entertained while you're waiting for to get into the exhibit or whatever it is. And I remember the guy standing there and you know, trying to keep us entertained until we can get in there. And I thought, I wonder what happened. I had a whole big crowd of people. I wonder what happened if I just got up there and started preaching the gospel. I wonder if they'd like that. I bet you they took me out of there pretty quick. But, you know, the next day was Sunday. And we drove, found a little Baptist church there in Orlando, and we drove over there to it, and I noticed the traffic was pretty light going that direction. And it was a lot heavier going out towards Kissimmee, you know, towards Disney. And so we went there and pulled up right to the church. I mean, there's a nice parking spot real close to the church. Went in there. They had padded pews and air conditioning, and we didn't have any problem finding a comfortable place to sit. You try to find a comfortable place to sit at Disney, you know. But anyway, we had a great gospel feast. The minister got up, preached the word, and we sang the hymns. And you know, afterwards, I told my children, I said, now look, we didn't pay anything. They didn't charge. They passed an offering plate, and we put something in there, but we didn't have to. It was all voluntary. It was free. I said, we came here to this place. I found a great parking lot. I had to pay to park my car at Disney. They won't even let you park your car there unless you pay them a pretty sizable chunk of money. And I pull up to the church. They didn't have anybody out there to collect for parking my car. And they were very hospitable, and I felt like a king. I mean, they treated me so good. And then I said, kids, listen, we heard the word of God, and it was wonderful. We got great riches here, and we didn't have to spend a dime for them. And yesterday we went out to Disney, and we spent all kinds of money to be entertained with a bunch of fluff. And I just thought, that's a great illustration of this passage. And I think about all that traffic going the other direction. I wonder if there's any Christians in them cars desecrating the Lord's Day so they go to Disney. Christians always have all kinds of excuses to desecrate the Lord's Day. Oh, I don't do it all the time. Just now and then. Oh, we're down in Florida. We're at Disney. We're just going to do it just to go to Disney. Listen, what an insult that is to our Maker. But I just remember how that impacted me, and just thinking about that. You know what you ought to do sometimes, just as an illustration to your family, have your wife make this great meal. Like, you know, my wife's a great cook. I should have her make a great meal and then set it aside and make some of these mud pies and set them in front of your kids. Say, kids, we're going to eat mud pies. We got this meal here, but we're not going to eat it. We're going to eat these mud pies. And see what your kids say. You see, Christians can do that. We can do that. You get all wrapped up in Facebook or some other kind of thing and neglect your morning devotions. Aren't you doing exactly what Isaiah is telling you not to do when you do that? I think you are. I'm guilty too. I've done it. I'm not just preaching to you. I try to preach to myself before I preach to you. But I remember a day in this city when on a Sunday night you could drive by, most churches were open on a Sunday night. I remember that. That shows how old I am. But I remember in the early days of my salvation, I remember. But most of them closed down their Sunday night service now because the people of God have more interesting things to do than to worship God together. And that's why the Super Bowl is on Sunday too, by the way. Let me tell you, that is why it is on Sunday. Because the devil knows exactly what he's doing. And he pulls a lot of Christians. There's a lot of Christians watching that right now when they ought to be attending to the means of grace. The Lord's Day has fallen on hard times, and so is the church. Do you suppose there is any connection? Well, here the commandment here in verse 2, in the second half of the verse, it says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." It says, ought to listen carefully. It says, listen carefully to me. You know, we ought to listen carefully to the Word of God. Some listen quite casually. Some listen only to the parts of Scripture that please them and make them feel good about themselves. Some don't listen at all. Children, do you listen carefully when the Bible is opened here at church or at home? Do you children listen carefully? I realize as you know, you're a very little child, you know, we don't expect as much out of them. You know, I know. It's hard to get the small child to listen carefully to anything of any substance for very long. But children, I'm talking to you, not to your parents now. I'm talking to you. The Bible says, listen carefully. When the Word of God is being presented, you ought to listen carefully because it is the Word of God. Because it's that God who made you. That God who knows all about you and all what's best for you. And He has spoken. And so when the Word of God is preached, whether it's at home or whether it's your mom and dad opening it up at home in family devotions, you ought to sit up and listen carefully. And really pay attention, because it is the Word of God. Now, what does it mean to listen carefully? Well, first of all, it means to listen with the intent of trying to understand it. But children, ask your parents about things that you don't understand. Let's say you're listening carefully in church, and children, little children especially, I understand that there's things that we adults may say in the pulpit that you really just don't understand. We might use a word. You don't know what that word means. Well, you know, you ask your parents afterwards, what did that word mean that the pastor used? And, or if your parents are teaching you something and they say something you don't understand, well, ask them about it. I remember a thing I put on Facebook a few years ago. It was so funny. I had one of my grandchildren. He was really upset with his teacher because he taught him, he was saying something about having fellowship with God face to face. And my little grandson misunderstood that, and I kept questioning him. I didn't understand why this troubled him so much. And as I kept questioning him, I found out that he thought that the teacher was saying that God had two faces. He had two heads. He really was thinking about God as a monster is what he was thinking. Parents, you can't take things for granted. I mean, who would think face to face? And we use that term all the time, right? I mean, you would think, I mean, any child, but no, children don't know those, some of the things we take for granted every day. And children, if your parents use some phrase like that you don't understand or that frightens you or something, well, just ask them about it. And that's one of the things about listening carefully. But then we also need to listen with the intention of obeying God's Word. We're supposed to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And James calls those that don't do the Word of God, he calls them forgetful hearers. Now, we don't want to be a forgetful hearer. Now, children, you don't want to listen to the Word of God and then just forget all about it, do you? It's the most important thing you can possibly learn. It's more important than your arithmetic. It's more important than your alphabet. It's more important than any of the things that you study in school. And so we don't want to be forgetful about it. James says that we're to be doing and not just hearing. So you need to listen with the intent of doing what the Bible says. And so if you don't know how to do it, or you don't know how to obey it, well, there again, ask your parents and ask them to help you. Proverbs 3:5 says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And I've said before in the book of Proverbs, whenever it says my son, you could also say my daughter. So my son or my daughter, don't forget my law. We need to ask God to drive those truths deep into our hearts so that we have them deep within us. Paul told Timothy that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the truth you get from Scripture can make you wise unto salvation. It can save your soul. You know, you can take a whole library of books that can make you wise in a lot of things, but they're really nothing compared to being wise unto salvation. So we need to pay close attention to it, because it has eternal value. It's not just for today, but it's for eternity. Children, sometimes you're thinking about playing outside or playing with some of the toys that you have at home or doing this or doing that. But children, you know that that's only going to make you happy for a moment. But you know, being with God in heaven forever is so much better. Because if we don't have the gospel, if we don't have Christ, then we'll be separated from Him forever. So with the gospel and Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross to save us and to make atonement for our sins, that's a lasting thing for us. And even a child can understand that something that will last you forever is so much better than something that will last you just for a few moments while you're playing with it. We think about children. I made a lot of application to children, but, you know, us adults can be just as foolish. We really can. Our toys are a little more expensive, but it can be the same thing. He said, listen careful to me and eat what is good. Now, isn't it often true that we prefer junk food to healthy food? I don't know why that is. I don't know why we crave that. I'm the same way. You give me junk food, give me healthy food. Generally, I'm going to say, I want the junk food. You have to discipline yourself to eat right, don't you? Well, you know, it's amazing. I'm always amazed at how as the physical is, so is the spiritual. We see that over and over again, and we really see it in this passage, but it's really true. He says, eat what is good. It's like your mama would say. Son, eat what is good. Why don't you eat these things over here? But the children say, well, no, I don't want to eat what is good. I want to eat what I want to eat. Well, we do the same thing. So it says, but then he says, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. You see, he says, after he gives that command, eat what is good, then he says, let your soul delight itself in abundance. So just like it'd be easy to indulge ourselves in junk food, it's also easy to starve our souls rather than to feed our souls on that which builds us up spiritually. And I've seen it over and over in others. And I've experienced it myself as well. You know, just like a person that ruins their health through eating too much junk food, and we've known people that have done that. And as they do this, as they ruin their health with junk food, they don't perceive it on a day-to-day basis. You know, one day to the next, it isn't like, you know, you have a bad day and with your diet, and the very next day you've reaped the results. That's not how it works. It's just imperceptive. It's just over time, eating that junk food will deteriorate your health. It's the same thing with the spiritual. Christians don't seem to perceive when they're backsliding. It's one of the imperceptible things. And I've been in church leadership for, you know, decades, and I've seen it so oftentimes that you know somebody's backsliding. You know by the choices they're making and the different things in their lives that they're not doing well spiritually. But you sit down and look them in the eye and say, how are you doing spiritually? And not always. Sometimes sometimes they're better in tune with their hearts than this, but I would say most of the time, they'll say, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. They really don't know they're not doing fine. But usually their pastor knows they're not doing fine, but then they won't listen to them. So that's what happens when we do that. So it is that Christians that starve their souls through a neglect of the means of grace, they seldom perceive what they're doing to themselves. And the spiritual coldness that sets in on their souls is something that they don't really even perceive necessarily. To perceive our spiritual coldness is actually a very healthy thing. You sometimes think of yourself as spiritually cold. Well, then that's a call. That's a call to drawing near to God. If you feel yourself growing cold, just say, remind yourself of that short passage, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And you just get on your knees before God and you draw near to God. And He's promised that He will draw near to you. But it's more than just a one-time get on your knees and now it's all over and I've drawn near to God and it's all done with. No, it's a constant thing. That's why God has given us the church. That's why He's given us things like the Lord's Supper. And that's why He's given us church fellowship with one another and all these things that He's given us. Is because we need to be constantly in attendance upon these things because of the principle of backsliding within us, because of the principle of the world drawing us away from Christ. We need to be continually in these things. So I would just ask this. Are you spending good money on mud pies and neglecting gospel fullness that could be yours for free? Wine and milk without money and without price. Are you really listening carefully? And then in verse 3 he says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. He says, hear, and your soul shall live. And now I'm going back to applying it to the lost again. And I remember the time when the evangelist came to the shop, and of course I've told you this story so many times, but when the evangelist came to the machine shop where I was working, and I remember he came in, and at first I made fun of him and laughed, this preacher's coming to save us sinners, and then just had this thought, why don't you just go and listen to it? You know, it won't hurt you to listen. And I remember, okay, I'm going to go listen. And I walked back there, and I sat myself down, and I listened. And guess what? I got saved. I heard the gospel, and I got saved. What did I do? I inclined my ear to hear. I listened. And I decided, I want to hear what this man has to say. And I know that was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. I know that. It wasn't like somehow I just raised myself up by my own bootstraps. No, it was the Holy Spirit drawing me. He'd been working on me a long time. But he says to incline our ear. Now, you may be here without Christ here tonight. Are you willing to incline your ear to hear what God has to say? Are you willing to incline your ear to the gospel message, the message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that He hung on that cross to pay that price, that debt that you could not pay, and that salvation is as free as coming and eating it? The book of Revelation, it says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. The gospel message is open and free. If you're sitting there without Christ, and if you're content to leave here without Christ, and are you trying to make the gospel message more complicated than God made it? You know, some of you are confused by the gospel message. Well, it's because your eyes haven't been opened. We know that. But it's really a simple message. Come. Come and eat. That's what he says here. Oh, everyone who thirsts, verse 1. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. And and you may come to Christ. He wants you to come to Him. And if you leave here tonight, and I want you to think about this, lost person. If you're here without Jesus Christ, If you leave without Jesus Christ, it's because you've chosen to eat a mud pie. You're sitting at a restaurant. I mean, you're not like the people in Haiti. They didn't have any choice. But if you leave here tonight without Christ, it's because you had the meal there, but you turned away from it because you wanted to eat a mud pie. And you know that's a ridiculous thing. Well, it's as ridiculous spiritually as it is physically. To have the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to you and turn away from it is the height of insanity, as Pastor Smith said this morning. Sin is insanity. He says, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now that's just another way of saying the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sure mercies of David. So Christian, are you here tonight and the world has gotten a hold of you, he's gotten too much of you? Rethink these things and rethink your life and how much you need to feast yourself upon the gospel blessings that God has given you. And if you're a lost sinner today and you've never come to Christ, just think about these things and I hope when you go to sleep tonight you'll be thinking about mud pies. So I'll be praying that as I close in prayer here, I want to pray that God would do that in your life and not give you any rest until you rest in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've spread before us a gospel feast, and it's free. It doesn't cost us anything. It costs Christ his life. He spilled his blood so that we might be saved. And now here tonight and in a little while we'll be partaking of this supper that Jesus said that we are to do in remembrance of him. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take it in all of its fullness and to remember Christ in all of his fullness. And that you would help us to live the Christian life, not as one who's starving our souls, but one who's feasting on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.